Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue with our topic, Japanese food influenced by Portuguese food.
So, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the question, are your favorite Japanese foods actually Portuguese? So again, if you travel to Japan and you eat some of their food, or if you have some Japanese food here in Taiwan, you may not know it, but a lot of that food was influenced by Portugal. Not all of it, not a whole bunch of it, just some of it, but enough to be significant and enough for us to talk about here.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw the title, but it makes sense because back in the 16th, 17th century, the Portuguese were, you know, they were really good sailors. They had great ships and they would go out on the sea. And of course, the purpose is to either discover something, you know, maybe a new land, a new type of animal, new type of food to eat, or to do some trading with different people, different countries. That was always pretty fun back then.
Or to do some dark things like, you know, ship slaves from Africa to the Americas or take over other countries and establish colonies and stuff like that. Yeah, they sailed for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. So they ran into Japan and the Japanese thought, ooh, I kind of like this dish you do where you take batter and you dip vegetables in it. Back then it was green beans and then deep fry them. And that's where tempura actually started. It came from the Portuguese people who were visiting Japan. They were there to sell the Japanese some firearms, some weapons, because at that period of time, Japan was engaged or in the middle of a civil war where the Japanese were fighting each other. And of course, if you want to win a war, you need weapons. Mm. So Portugal had some good firearms they sold to the Japanese.
Indeed. And of course, we learned about tempura last time, as you mentioned. And, you know, I guess I had wondered about that before.
Really?
Tempura, that's a Japanese food? That does not sound like a Japanese word.
I know. Especially the fact that it's, you know, it's got batter and deep fried. That's not really that healthy.
Yeah, kind of weird there. Of course, we all know that the Japanese diet is probably the best in the world. Japanese people live longer than most other people in the world, etc. So, yeah, why would they have this deep-fried batter stuff? Well, we have the Portuguese to thank for that. And today, of course, we're going to talk about some other food that came from Portugal, or at least how the Portuguese influenced Japanese food, and that's all about bread. So let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson one time. Another popular Japanese food that got its start thanks to Portuguese traders is bread. In fact, the Japanese word for bread, pan, is derived from its Portuguese name, pão. Portuguese traders and missionaries first familiarized locals with baking, but when Christianity was banned in Japan in the early 1600s, bread sales declined as well. It wasn't until 1842 that a Japanese man, Egawa Hidetatsu, would prepare bread again for his fellow countrymen. As the head of the Tokugawa Shogunate's Coast Guard, he baked and distributed hard bread to soldiers stationed around Tokyo Bay as part of their rations. Decades later, bread evolved from simple but filling fare into a delicious treat with the invention of red bean buns in 1874. Triggering the product's revival, these distinctive items became so beloved that they led to a boom in bread production and sales across the country. A final Portuguese food that made its mark on the nation is confeito, a kind of colorful, sugary candy. Portuguese traders brought these sweets to Japan, but they were costly. An abundance of refined sugar was required to make them, but sugar refining didn't exist in Japan. Hence, confeito were rare. Thanks to later innovations, however, these bright candies called confeito in Japanese became easier to produce and more widespread. These days, they are a symbol of hospitality. It's commonplace for hosts to give them to guests as a cordial thank you for coming gift. Whether you try one of these sweets, a steaming hot red bean bun, or some freshly fried tempura, you'll be experiencing something else as well, a reminder of Portugal's lasting influence on Japanese culture.
Okay, guys, let's get started. This is day two. We now know that, yes, indeed, Portuguese influenced some of Japanese foods. Okay, so we're going to continue on. We talked about tempura, but now we're going to be talking about something else. Another popular Japanese food that also got its start thanks to the Portuguese who were over there in Japan. The Portuguese traders introduced them to bread. Bread doesn't sound Japanese at all to me.
Burredo. Yeah. No, that's not the Japanese word for bread. Actually, the Japanese word for bread is pan, which is also the Spanish word for bread, but this particular word is derived from its Portuguese name, pão. Okay, I hope I said that right. Again, to derive here just means it comes from.
Originates,
right, so it's the phrase here, to be derived from. That's where the word comes from. So, of course, there are lots of words in Chinese that are derived from English words. Can't think of any offhand now, but, of course, there's some English words that are derived from Chinese, like kowtow. The term in English, kowtow, that's derived from the Chinese word kuto,
he's really gung-ho, which is actually from Cantonese. So if you're really gung-ho, it means you've got a lot of enthusiasm or excitement for something. So bread. I don't ever picture the Japanese eating much bread. Although I have to say, bread's quite popular in Taiwan now.
Yeah, bakeries indeed.
Wow.
I've had lots of people here in Taiwan say, oh, the bread in Taiwan is so much better than the bread in the United States. How can you eat that stuff over there? It's so boring. It's so dry. Our bread is so much better.
It's very
Our
sweet
pastries,
here.
Yeah, it probably might have to do with the stress on sugar here. Although, ironically, Americans are much fatter than Taiwanese. So, you know, figure that out. But in any case here,
we eat more. Our servings are very
larger portions and a lot more carbohydrates, I think. But in any case here, yes, the word pão is derived from the Portuguese word for bread, which is pão. Mm. And Portuguese traders and missionaries first familiarized locals with baking. Mm. But when Christianity was banned in Japan in the early 1600s, bread sales declined as well. So you've got traders from Portugal, and you've got missionaries, religious people going to Japan to spread the word.
They were Catholics.
Catholics, yes, trying to convert the Japanese to Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while they were preaching to them, they also said, well, you know, we got to eat sometime between Bible verses, so let's do some baking here. So they familiarized the locals with baking, okay? So this is a European tradition, you know, taking dough and putting it in the oven and baking bread and pastries and things like that. So here, to familiarize just means to make someone familiar with something to make them know about it more.
Yeah, and the locals, of course, are the Japanese people who live right there in Japan. So they banned bread in the early 1600s, and then bread really wasn't going to reappear until 1842, and that's when a Japanese guy, Igawa Hidetatsu, he would prepare bread again for his fellow countrymen. So he's the one who kind of resurrected bread, or brought it back to life.
Resurrect, interesting word when we're talking about missionaries.
Resurrected, yeah, thank you. Fuhu. So as the head of the Tokugawa Shogunate's Coast Guard, the Coast Guard are part of your military service. It's usually the people who watch over the coastline, or they protect the oceans so that nobody can come and attack your country or bring in drugs. That's what our Coast Guard does in America. They watch for ships coming in with illegal drugs. So as the head of the Coast Guard, Igawa, that was his job. So he had a pretty important position. He baked and distributed hard bread to soldiers stationed around Tokyo Bay as part of their rations. Notice here it doesn't sound very appetizing or very tasty. They ate hard bread. Hard bread probably could last a little longer than soft bread. That's what I'm going to guess. And if a soldier is stationed somewhere, that's the area that he's been assigned to stay in. So they were stationed around Tokyo Bay, and he would give them this hard bread as part of their rations. During war or times of, you know, either a drought or there isn't enough food, the government will ration food out, meaning you can only have a certain amount. It especially happens after wars or during wars when food is tight. There's not enough food for people, so they start giving you just a little bit. You get a handful. No more for you. You get a handful. We're so lucky nowadays because we can eat as much food as we want.
And we probably take it for granted,
yeah.
But if you're in the military, of course, you receive rations, just a fixed amount of food every day.
Yeah.
And decades later, a decade, of course, is a period of 10 years, so 20, 30, 40 years later, whatever, bread evolved from simple but filling fare into a delicious treat with the invention of red bean buns in 1874. So it was simple back in those days, maybe kind of boring, but still it was filling. If you ate it, you felt full and you didn't need to eat any more. Fare here just refers to food that you eat on a regular basis. Food and fare, you know. So in any case here, it was a great treat and especially became even more tasty when they had these red bean buns. You all know what hong do are, red beans. So you can make them into various kinds of bread pastries and they're very tasty. Red bean buns were invented in 1874 and the rest is history. We've got them now and we all love them very much.
Oh, yeah. So triggering the product's revival, these distinctive items became so beloved that they led to a boom in bread production and sales across the country. It's kind of a long sentence, so why don't we take a break here, listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll come back and continue talking about bread and how it came back into popularity.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看第14单元。我们谈经典的日本美食，但是这些经典的日本美食却是来自于葡萄牙。今天要讲的第二个跟葡萄牙有关，受到葡萄牙文化影响的日本美食呢，是面包。东西举例的时候，我们要注意到，我们并没有讲说，哦，我们要谈只有三种或只有两种，所以谈完了一个，再谈另一个，这边的开头是another， 另外一个就是面包。面包这个字，如果你会讲台语的话，你应该知道台语的面包其实就这个字胖。这个胖台语是受到日文的影响，我们现在看看日文真的面包就是这样讲的。说起来日文也不是日文，因为它是来自于葡萄牙文。葡萄牙的商人传教士，他当时到了日本之后，他要让当地的人知道怎么烘焙面包。日本禁止基督教之后，面包的销量就下滑了，是一直到西元1842年才又复兴。我们来看这个文法的部分。到1842年，有一位日本的男子，他再为他的同胞做出面包，一直到什么时候才怎样？我们的句构上会用一个分裂句构，也就是 at， 当然这是虚主词。然后呢，中间呢会有一个强调一个时间，后面再一个 that 子句。换句话说，你是要强调后面的事实是本来没有的，而一直到1842年以后才有，所以中文我们的翻译就是一直到1842年才怎样。这时候呢，有一位男子，他是在德川幕府里当海防将领，他把他烤好的面包分配给驻扎在那个东京湾的士兵。不过这是历史的部分咯。文法部分，在英文里面我们要注意到的是 station 这个字。这个字我们如果当名词看，当然就是车站啦，可是不要忘记 station 是可以当动词的。它当动词的意思就是表示派驻谁到哪里去。所以说当你讲这些士兵 soldiers， 他们被派驻在东京湾，这里的 station 加 ed 其实它是一个过去分词。 station 当过去分词来用，当然修饰的是表示这些士兵被派驻驻扎在这里。另外有个动词是 post， post 跟 station 其实是有同样的意思的，都表示派驻谁到哪里去。再来我们继续来看这个故事哦。这几十年之后啊，还有一个红豆面包在1874年 被发明，然后面包从此就变成了一个美食了。这个故事大家想想还真是有趣呢。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's resume with our lesson now. As promised, we're going to talk about that very long sentence that we just read here. Again, we're talking aboutbread and its reintroduction to Japan. Remember, they first introduced it. The missionaries taught the Japanese baking, but then Christianity was banned in Japan for a while. And then a Japanese man brought
Igawa,
it back.
Yeah,
he brought it back again. So that was kind of a revival of bread. So here in this sentence, it says, triggering the product's revival, these distinctive items became so beloved that they led to a boom in bread production and sales across the country. So, of course, when they made these red bean buns, that triggered the product's revival. People ate those red bean buns and they thought, hey, that's pretty tasty. Where can we get something else like that? Well, that was made from bread. So, of course, bread had a revival there, kind of a rebirth again. You might talk about economic revival. If there's some kind of depression or something and you want to make the economy active again, you have an economic revival, bringing something back to life again.
We'll often see this if you're into musical theater or plays on Broadway or something like that. They'll have plays that were first new, maybe say 10, 12 years ago, and they want to restage it to put it on again. It will be called a revival, the play's revival. So these were very distinctive items, the red beans and the bread. They became so beloved or well-loved that they led to a boom in bread production and sales across the country. Boom here means a lot of success in something. So here we're talking about the sales that went right through the roof, you could say, that just boomed. You're hoping that people are describing your economy in your country as booming. Wow, our economy's booming. It's wonderful. It's on fire. Well, it became very popular at this point. There was a boom in bread production and sales increased across the country. Cool.
And of course, you know the word for boom in Japanese is boomu. Okay, so yes, there was a boom in bread production. And it became quite popular and remains so to this day. Now, a final Portuguese food that made its mark on the nation is confeito, which is a kind of colorful, sugary candy. Okay, so that's another kind of Portuguese food that became influential in Japan. It's called confeito. And what is that? Well, it's candy that's very sugary and very colorful. Sounds interesting. It sounds kind of simple here.
Yeah.
But it did come from the Portuguese, and it is quite popular in Japan now.
Yeah, if you look it up, it just looks like a clear sugar candy. It can pop into your mouth and just suck on. Not a lot of flavor. It's just sugar. But the colors are beautiful. Well, the Portuguese traders brought these sweets to Japan, but they were costly. I remember during this time, this period of time in history, sugar was expensive and only fairly wealthy people could even have sugar in their lives. And of course, it's kind of fun to eat sugar. I bet the Japanese weren't used to eating sweet things, really, besides fruit. But of course, sugar is, it's not quite as healthy as fruit juice.
Yeah, I was going to say the Portuguese not only brought these kinds of food, but they also brought diabetes to Japan as well with all these sweet candies here. You could say it that way. But again, they brought these sweets to Japan, but they were costly. They were expensive because an abundance of refined sugar was required to make them. But sugar refining didn't exist in Japan. An abundance of, a large amount of something. So if you want to make these kinds of candy, you need a lot of sugar. You need an abundance of sugar, and not only sugar, but refined sugar. Mm-hmm. So it has to go through some kind of process to make it more pure. Like when you, suck oil out of the ground, petroleum, it's got to be refined in order to burn it as gasoline in your car. But they did not have this technology in Japan at the time. No sugar refining at that time.
The next sentence says, hence, or therefore, As a result of that, confeito were rare. These candies were hard to get your hands on. So thanks to later innovations, however, these bright candies called confeito in Japanese, very close, huh? Confeito and confeito became easier to produce and more widespread. So you could find them in other areas of the country. When you're talking about an innovation, it's something that's a new idea or a new method or a new product. So they change things a little, and because of those innovations or those new methods, these bright candies were then available in Japan, and they became easier to make, not as expensive, and so more people had an opportunity to have them in their lives.
So now they're widespread in Japan, yeah. And these days they are a symbol of hospitality. Hospitality, of course, means being an excellent host to your guests, inviting guests over and treating them well, and being generous with them and stuff like that. So yes, it's a sign or a symbol of hospitality. It's commonplace, or it's common. It's quite popular for hosts to give them to guests as a cordial thank you for coming gift. So if you've gone over to someone's house to visit, it's customary in Japan for your hosts to give you some of these candies as a gift. We're describing this as a cordial thank you for coming gift. So cordial here just means warm and friendly, relaxed, nice, etc.
Yeah, cordial. Oh, he was very cordial to me. It's more, I think it's a little bit more formal, you know, than just saying he was friendly. But we use it quite often, so you should know this word. Now, look at how they're turning thank you for coming into an adjective. So what kind of gift was it? It was a thank you for coming gift. It's kind of a fun way to write. We often do this in English. So thank you for coming. These four words turn into an adjective as you put hyphens. Those are those short lines in between the words. What kind of gift? A thank you for coming gift.
Kind of interesting. It's like restaurants, you know, after you finish your meal, sometimes you can get some candy on the way out. Sounds like a similar concept.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so here is our final paragraph. It says, whether you try one of these sweets, a steaming hot red bean bun, or some freshly fried tempura, you'll be experiencing something else as well, a reminder of Portugal's lasting influence on Japanese culture. So indeed, that wraps things up for us. But this kind of begs the question for me, is because Japan colonized Taiwan for 50 years, you would think that indeed the Japanese came over and brought some foods here, and the Taiwanese liked them, and now they're very much part of the diet of Taiwanese people. But did the reverse occur? Did Japanese people come over and they tried some of the local Taiwanese food and they thought, oh, this stuff is tasty, we need to take it back to Japan? So I wonder if Taiwanese food had the same kind of influence on Japanese food.
Very interesting question. Maybe some of our listeners know the answer. Write in. Write into our magazine if you know the answer. We'd love to know. So whether you try one of these sweets like Tom was talking about, the steaming hot red bean bun. I'll be honest, guys, red bean is not my favorite.
I didn't like it at first, but I've actually...
Has it grown on you?
Yeah, I actually like it now. I like those red bean popsicles, those red bean ice bars.
Okay, whatever. The ice bar would be good. When you put the red bean, though, inside of something else, like a cake or, you know, some sort of bun, it's a little bit too... The texture is... Yeah, the texture is a little weird to me.
Yeah, I like it myself.
But I love the tempura that you can get.
And
we have plenty of that here in Taiwan now. You'll be experiencing something else. Yeah, it's just fun to connect where these different items or foods or dishes or traditions come from, because sometimes they've been borrowed from other cultures. Kind of fun. Okay, guys, right now we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
我们来继续看一下，提到了面包，现在还有第三个食物我们要介绍的，这个日本美食也是受到葡萄牙文化的影响的，就是日本的金瓶糖。我们注意到这个片语 made its mark on， 因为我们说到我们最后文章里要介绍的这个美食，它也是因为葡萄牙在日本造成了很大的影响，留下足迹，这个美食，所以 made its mark on. 记得介系词是 on 哦。其实当然 on 放在这里就让大家想到对什么事情的影响，当这个意思有出现的时候，介系词就是接 on。所以 make its mark on, made a mark on 都表示对什么造成影响。再来谈到金瓶糖，这是葡萄牙商人把这种糖果带到日本的，当时可是很贵的，因为需要糖，可是日本没有这种制造砂糖的技术，等于说这种糖果是很稀有的糖果，物以稀而贵，这也是可想而知的。后来有了新的技术，才有这种糖果比较普及了。那现在呢，如果就日本人来说，他们请你吃这种糖果，所谓的金瓶糖，就表示是好客的象征，因为客人来才有这样子的糖果。注意到好客这个字 hospitality。再来就是下面提到说，通常呢主人呢就会把这种糖果来当作是 thank you for coming gift, 感谢你来这样子的礼物。我们在英文里面常常会有复合形容词，像这么长的复合形容词倒是比较少见。Thank you for coming 四个字连在一起。我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That is it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, I bet you have an appetite for Japanese food now since we've been talking about it so much. I'd like to check out this tempura now.
Yeah.
After our program's over, I'm going to head to my nearest Japanese restaurant and order some. So
awesome.
Please join us again next time after you've finished. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See you later.